Hello there, folks. My name's Shane Morley, lead singer of Paisley Riot. We're live at the Purple Turtle, Camden, to celebrate Podfest, the best in live entertainment, via the website.
Are you going to introduce the bands?
Yep, here we have Rob Palatina, drummer.
Hi.
You're supposed to go...
Introduce the bands or the people?
The people, I think.
Another people.
I'm Phil Coyne, Big Josh for the Masses.
And I'm Nina, and I'm Phil's sidekick.
Phil, you organise this. What's it all about?
It's all about promoting the bands, you know, getting them into one place, promoting them via podcasts, getting it all recorded and distributed.
So all these bands are bands that you've promoted on your podcast. Was it hard to persuade a venue that, you know, this was going to draw in the punters?
It was surprisingly easy, because what we said, we came in June, I think it was, and said, we want to put on an event, it's going to be a podcast. And they said, okay, that was it. There was no real, you know, we didn't have to prove to them that it was going to happen. And we didn't have to say what a podcast was. It was just kind of a given, which is a good thing.
A lot of bands say that podcasting has really changed the way they reach their audiences, enabled them to reach new audiences. What's your experience have been of what it's like to have your music podcast?
Yeah, well, with podcasting as a vehicle to get unsigned music out there, it's just couples with the website and the MySpace, just again, another vehicle to get our music out there, and it's all taken off from there.
Excuse me, I'm doing a piece on the radio about tonight. Do you mind if I ask you how you found out about tonight?
MySpace.
Sorry?
MySpace.
MySpace?
Yeah.
MySpace?
Yeah, MySpace.com, yeah.
So you just went and looked and you liked the bands and you went...
My friend there got invited. He invited me, so...
And did you discover them on MySpace as well?
Actually, it was a friend invited me through MySpace, so... Yeah, kind of.
And do you end up finding a lot of bands that way?
Actually, you get a lot of band requests, which you don't always want to take because I'm better than others, but you know what I mean? When you get the sort of weirdo bands wanting to be your friend, you sort of tend to ignore those ones, but you know, they're all right. They get my seal of approval, so.
Very good. You're enjoying yourself?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. How did you find out about tonight?
Through MySpace.
Really? Is that where you tend to find out about new music?
Well, basically at the moment, yeah, and a good friend of mine told me about the new night starting in London, so I checked out a few of the bands, liked the sound of them, so thought, come down, have a look.
Do you prefer MySpace as a place to find new music over, you know, the traditional radio, for example?
It's just a lot easier because it's, like, accessible for whenever you want to access it, really, at the end of the radio. It's a case of listening and tuning in when you can, whereas MySpace, you can go online and have a look at the time, do you know what I mean, and check out what's happening and... It's a good way to find out where new music is, basically.
So I'm here with Nina Spink, who runs MySpace_spook. Yeah, see, how's that for recall? Only told 5 minutes ago, still remember it, which is one of the, I guess it's one of the key places for new music.
Yes.
The key places to find new unsigned bands. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be terribly rude here. Nina, there is a perception that to be into new music, you have to be 19 and trendy trainers and sort of, you know, I don't know, ride a skateboard or something, you know, which, let's face it, neither of us are. I think it would just be interesting for the audience to know a little bit about you and then to know kind of what you do with unsigned bands.
Well, I have the trendy bands.
Actually, yes, you do. Okay, your shoes are way trendier than my shoes.
Sweet specials, yes, but I have... a 21-year-old boy, well, he'll be 21 next week, and also a 19-year-old girl. So they come to my gigs, and I go to their gigs. And I guess, you know, I'm sucked into their music, and they're sucked into mine.
Do you think the people that visit your site know that you're probably a bit older than them? Do you think they get that sort of sense?
Well, there is a picture, one picture of me up there, messing around in the garden. But that's about it, really. I have a pair of eyes to retain my mysticism, I guess it is. Also, status does clearly say married, but we still get the, you know, the strange requests through. But yes, people who meet me, of course, they do know. And but I think initially they're not really interested in the person behind it because I run an information source, a sort of a resource for unsigned bands to help them find their way through the music industry, really. And it consists of different sites that they can use and find helpful that have information resources in themselves, or links to BBC or links to photographers or venues. That's how it started. And then I was approached to get help with gigs and find gigs in, you know, in London area.
So you're an A&R woman, really, for Phil?
Well, yes. He likes to call me a creative consultant, I guess. Something to do with lack of qualifications.
You were telling me you went to your first, now what was it? I'm so out of touch, I'll say it wrongly. Death metal, was it? Or
thrash metal.
Oh, sorry, thrash metal. Yeah. My taxonomy, my periodic table of metals is... rock metals is a little out, but you went to your first thrash metal gig. What was that like?
Well, it was interesting. I did think it was a screamo metal, but I've been corrected and it's thrash metal. And it was a friend of my son's, he's in this band, so I went along to hear them. But the first ones that were on, well, you know, I was a little surprised, and after sort of, you know, trying to contain myself with the humour, I guess, and not reach for the bucket because I thought the poor guy was going to be sick. He made these sort of lovely throwing up sounds. But having said that, the vibes that were there when you're on a live set is quite amazing, and it didn't have me running for the door. I still don't understand the music and why they do it, and I wouldn't purchase the music to listen to at home, but I definitely would go again to a thrash metal just for the vibe of it.
See, my brother was into metal and he had a big bass amp, and my dad's judgment on it was it sounded like God having his coal delivered. Do you always find it quite a welcoming experience when you go to these new acts? And I guess a lot of the audience are, you know, in their teens. Do you find them very welcoming?
They are. I haven't found any hostility at all, or sort of, you know, rushing to sort of get up and offer me a chair or anything like that. But no, they're always very, very accommodating. It doesn't seem to matter the age thing these days, which is kind of nice. Certainly for me, it is kind of nice because I tend.
It's kind of nice for all of us who are the wrong side of 30.
That's,
I think,
right. You know, because there's a tendency you sort of scuttle around in the background and sort of, you know, find the darkest corner and, you know, wistfully look on. But no, I've been up there at the front in the middle of the mosh pit, so.
But there were those rather sort of spiteful, I thought, or rather mean-spirited articles talking about kidulthood, talking about how people were failing to grow up. Do you accept that kind of view of the way people behave these days?
I don't think it's so much failing to grow up or not wanting to grow up. The thing is, if you find something that you like and you enjoy, why does one have to stop enjoying it when one reaches a certain age, really? I just think it's just a wonderful avenue. And with the MySpace thing, of course, it's opened up everything for us oldies as well as the youngsters, you see, really. So we meet up, and I think I gain a lot from the younger generation, and I think I can give them a little bit of a perception on a different aspect of music and what looking at. I mean, after all, you know, it's your ears that you're listening with, isn't it?
Now, this is going to be recorded and put on a podcast and everything, so people might be listening to this on their iPods. Yeah, I know, I'm excited as well. They hear my voice right in their ears.
Hi, we're Goodbye Sergeants. I'm Rich. This is Jules. I'm pointing for no reason because that's, yes, you know, obviously this is John. This is Matt.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Proving that you all exist.
Yeah.
So you're here at this PodFest, which I guess has been organised based around the Bit Jobs podcast. I think bands in general, particularly unsigned, up-and-coming acts, are finding the internet is a very useful way to distribute their stuff, to get a buzz, to get interest. How have you guys found that?
We've had no reaction at all from the internet, basically. No, it's been quite good, yeah. We've had a lot of good feedback from people who've heard our tunes on the MySpace and stuff, which is myspace.com/goodbyesergeants, by the way. And, yeah, it's been a good reaction from all over the world, you might say. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Yeah, I think it's MySpace. It's got quite a few people listening to our music who otherwise would never even heard us, so...
A bit more volume. Just a gnat's whisker. So it's called Logo.
Hi, we're the Foxes. And I'm Nigel.
I'm Jono.
I'm Al.
And I'm Geeve.
Oh, yes.
So you're at Podfest. Are you guys quite into podcasting? Is that something that you find useful for selling and distributing your music?
What is podcasting?
No, well, it's the first time we've done it. We've done a lot of MySpace stuff, but podcasting's really taking off now, so if it works, we'll give it a shot.
How do you find the MySpace thing? I mean, do you have to spend a lot of time looking after friends and trying to get friends and do all that stuff?
Some friends, but you can get rid of those and, you know, enjoy the masses who don't need any care and attention. we kind of kicked off about 4 months ago, and it's really taken off, really exploded.
We've got 17,000 friends.
17,000. You've got a way to go for Tina Tequila, though, haven't you? What's she, 800,000?
Yeah, definitely.
Off the scale.
Yeah.
But how does that work? I mean, how does having 17,000 friends work for you guys as a band?
You've just got people that who are into music who you can pester, and you can let them know what's happening, and the click of a button they can come and listen to your songs and tell you, you know, how much they love them, and which is, it's a good thing, I think. Easy communication with people who are into what you're doing.
It can publicise gigs as well. You can let out, what is it you let out sometimes?
Bulletins.
That's it, yeah, bulletins. So you can let out bulletins and let everyone know about the gigs. And we normally get a few people down every gig from MySpace.
But how did they find you? Because there are like, aren't there a million bands on MySpace, something like that? I mean, how do you get
buzz.
How do you get them? How do you get the buzz?
People tell their mates about us.
And we had to kickstart it ourselves.
Oh, yeah,
there was
we
a lot.
To go after a few first.
Go out and just target a particular audience in London mainly, and from there it just expanded. It's exploded with excitement. Really good.
Well, it helps if you've got good songs as well, which is the kind of key thing. You can attract people there, but to keep them coming back and coming to gigs, you know, get the music.
Got a few key nutters as well. You've always got to have a key nutter. And we've got this, not their nutters, we've got a supporters site in Austria. They've set up a whole MySpace site and a website just for us as supporters.
In Austria?
Yeah, in Austria.
So you're huge in Austria?
Well, two people like us. So, yeah, we're getting there.
I'm Simon, I'm the drummer.
Hi, this is Cameron from Light Brigade. I'm the guitarist and synths.
Well, I'm Kieran, I play bass.
My name's Lee, and I'm the singer. Oh, hang on, let me get a word. No, you've said your bit.
Have you played a gig before where it's the audience, I guess, is going to mostly be people who listen to you on a podcast rather than on the radio or anything like that?
Our biggest fan base is through the internet, through MySpace, so I suppose it's not really that different.
Has MySpace changed the way you guys work? I mean, did you start off doing MySpace, or was MySpace something you came to later?
Yeah, Light Brigade kind of only came together at the beginning of this year, and our kind of like fan base is kind of building through that, because usually when you first start out, people are always it's like trying to get your friends down, and we've kind of although it was, you know, friends don't, like we've been playing like for a while, but before it was all about the friends, and now it's about people on MySpace that come
and
see us.
We don't really even ask our friends anymore. The majority of our crowd is actually from MySpace.
How does it work on MySpace though? I mean, I've got a MySpace page that I got for a phone-in discussion, and immediately you get like random people saying, I want to be your friend, and they're nearly all bands wanting to plug their stuff. I mean, do you have to do that? Is that part of being a band on MySpace? It's like you sign up, suddenly you've got to write, who can we be friends with?
No, not really. Because bands just do it generally to build up. I don't know, if we don't know a band, like we have a listen, if we don't like them, then we don't add them. Basically,
the majority of our requests actually come from people that have heard us on other people's pages. A lot of people, you know, put your songs on their site, and then we seem to get all their friends, you know, coming through.